It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it, on Christmas Eve?
Amen.
You have your Bibles with you tonight. Perhaps you'd join with me in turning to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 2, for the reading of the Christmas story. It was on that first Christmas Eve that the events that are recorded here actually took place. While the story is very familiar to us, this is not a fairy tale. This is an historical book. This is an historical event. And this event actually, literally, took place. Amen. God did come in the form of a man. He was born, Jesus was, to a virgin by the name of Mary, a young Jewish girl. They did come to Bethlehem. We're going to find out this evening why exactly. And he really and literally, truly was born on that occasion. Reading from Luke chapter 2, starting in the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Every year we read the Christmas story. And every year I read it in preparation for this specific service. And every year I ask the Lord to show me something from the story, this particular story. It's the only place in the Bible that the story is recorded. And I ask the Lord, show me something from this story that he would have me to share, some insight, some specific word that he would have to be declared on Christmas Eve. And it never fails to surprise me that the Lord will give some new insight each year. I was interested in, as I was thinking about the story, I was thinking about Joseph. And I thought about what occurred in his life, the events that took place on this evening. Joseph would have had every reason to be anxious, to fret, even to be mad. For after all, he was forced to take a very long journey. It was from Nazareth to Bethlehem, approximately 70 miles as the crow flies. There were no buses, no trains, no cars, no airplanes. There was no way to get there except to walk or to use a donkey, a beast of burden. The roads were undoubtedly rough. They weren't paved. They were dusty. They were dirty. His wife was very near delivery. As a matter of fact, when he arrived at his destination, he was only there a short time when his wife gave birth. And here he was forced to go, perhaps in winter. We don't know the exact date of Jesus' birth. We celebrate it on December the 25th. And if it was around this date, it would have been cold. It would have been windy, likely. And the purpose for which he was forced to go was to pay taxes to a foreign king, a king who believed in slavery, and a king who had oppressed the people, himself included. I think I told you last year when we were sharing from this story, one of my heroes from the Bible is Joseph. There's not very much written about him, but I want to get to know him. I want to see him when we get to heaven. I'm looking forward to talking some things over with him. The fact that God would give this man custody over his only begotten son makes him, I think, quite a guy, quite an important fellow. And it's interesting to me that he didn't lose his cool, so to speak, over the events that were occurring here. Forced to travel a long distance with a wife that was great with child, to go to a strange place where he had no reservations. He didn't know what awaited him there in order to pay taxes to a foreign king. But I wonder if Joseph may have known some of the scriptures, one of which was Proverbs 24 and 21, where the Lord had spoken to his people and said, "My son, fear the Lord and the king." It was a godly quality and is yet today to be obedient to the king, whether he's an honorable king or whether he's a foreign king such as Caesar. The New Testament tells us in the first letter to Peter, the second chapter, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or unto governors." He further says, "Honor the king, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." I wonder if Joseph understood that principle. And I wonder if he went willingly, because he knew it would please God to be obedient to the king. Did you ever wonder why the king should have laid a tax upon the people at that particular moment? Did you ever wonder why Caesar, who knew nothing about God, who knew nothing about the word of God, who knew nothing about the promises of God, who knew nothing about the coming of the Messiah, did you ever wonder why Caesar should pick that particular year, that particular season, that particular time of the year to levy a tax? Did you ever wonder why Caesar should have required all of the people of Israel to go to the home of their ancestors, to go to the town in which their ancestors were born and raised? Joseph perhaps would not necessarily have been thinking about the prophecy that's contained in the book of Micah. Micah was a prophet that spoke 700 and some odd years prior to the events of this first Christmas Eve. And Micah said something very interesting when he said these words, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, insignificant little town, suburb town of Jerusalem, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old, from everlasting." God had spoken through his prophet and said, there's coming a day when in this little insignificant town named Bethlehem, my son's going to be born. He'll not be born in Nazareth. He'll not be born in Galilee. He'll not be born in Jerusalem. He'll not be born in any town save one, and that is this little insignificant town, which was the town of David, a town called Bethlehem. Caesar didn't know why he levied the tax at that particular time. Caesar didn't know why he required all people to return to the town of their ancestry. I'm not sure whether Joseph understood it or not. Joseph had the kind of a heart, I just believe, that the kind of a man that God would put in trust with his own son would be the kind of a man who would have a heart to be obedient, who would have a heart to not resist, who would have a heart to do what was right. And he obeyed this ordinance of the king in spite of all of the difficulties that that entailed, and he found himself in Bethlehem. God was in charge. God was in control, and God had spoken 700 years before and said, "In Bethlehem shall my Christ be born. In Bethlehem shall the one who will rule Israel forever shall be born. In Bethlehem." How are we going to get Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem? We'll have Caesar levy a tax. We'll have Caesar require everybody to return to their hometowns. I wonder if you realize that you're not here tonight by accident. I wonder if you realize that tonight is a divine appointment for each of us. I wonder if you realize that the Bible says in Psalm 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Jeremiah said in his prophecy, the 10th chapter, the 23rd verse, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. We are so sure that we're making our own decisions and doing our own thing. And all the while, God is in charge. And all the while, he's in control. And all the while, he is causing our feet to be placed exactly where he wants them to be. In the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter and the 9th verse, Solomon said these very wise words, A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We, in our heart, devise our own way. I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. I won't do this, but I will do that. And we think that that's our own choice and our own volition, and that we're running our own circumstances. But the Bible says the Lord directeth a man's steps. Again, in the book of Proverbs, this time from the 20th chapter and the 24th verse, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? God directs our steps. How do we understand why we are in a particular place at a particular time? Why is it that we happen to be here tonight? Why is it that our life has taken the direction that is? Why is it that we live where we live? Why is it that we take a trip at a particular time? Why is it that the circumstances of this life occur when they do, how they do, and where they do? It's not coincidence. Jesus Christ is Lord. God is an almighty God. He created this earth, and he orders what happens on this earth. I believe that's one reason why we need to have an eye towards the Word of God. Lord, what are you doing in my life today? God, what is it that you're trying to accomplish in me today? Do you have me paying these taxes because you want my wife in Bethlehem giving birth to our first son because you promised in Micah 700 years ago that this is exactly how it would take place? Do I think that I am voluntarily here in Bethlehem and that I'm voluntarily paying my taxes only to not understand what you're doing? But you've got a work that you're accomplishing in my life. You may have come here tonight simply to please someone else. You may be here tonight because you happen to be in a house where some of our folks live. And they say, well, everybody's going to church tonight, and how about you going along? You're here and you think that it was just an accident. No, it's not an accident. It's a divine coincidence. God wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that he loves you so much that he sent the only son he had to live here on this earth, to show us what life could really be like, and then to give his life a sacrifice so that you would never have to die. Now that's the good news of the gospel. Jesus said, if any man would believe on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The most wonderful gift God ever gave man is Jesus Christ. For through him, he gives us the promise of eternal life. Can a man live forever? Oh, yes, he sure can. What's beyond the grave? It depends on the choices you make while you're here. You can live forever, or you can die forever. You can live in abundant joy forever, or you can live in eternal torment forever. Those choices are made in the way that we respond to Jesus Christ here in this life. And so I know that this evening is significant to all of us, everyone who is here. And perhaps you may not know, just as I am convinced that Joseph had no way of knowing how significant was that night in his life, I believe God's doing some wonderful works in the lives of those of us who are here gathered this Christmas Eve. Join me now as we sing. Silent night, Holy night, all is calm, all is bright, crown yon virgin, mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild,
sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Radiant beam.